Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to I'll Have What She's Having, a food and drink podcast from me, Sophie Wybird.
And me, Hannah Crosby. Every week, Sophie and I sit down to dinner. She makes a dish, I pair a wine, and we put the world to rights. This week, we pair Lamb Yavetzi with a non-alcoholic Bloody Mary.
And we talk big gammon energy, big age gap relationships, and being pregnant with our guest, Chef Anna DaCosta.
Anna DaCosta, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me over.
It's so nice to have you here. Really nice, friendly face on the sofa.
I know.
A good mutual pal.
I know. It's it was about time for you guys to have me here.
Yeah, I feel like it was only realistically a matter of time. You're one of the first people, I think, that we both kind of came to an agreement on having.
Thank you.
Very high on the list.
Yes.
For those listeners who do not know who you are, tell us, who is Anna DaCosta?
All right. So my name is Anna. I'm also known as Lots of Butter. I just do a little bit of everything in cooking, blogging. Well, I don't do a lot of blogging nowadays. A bit of recipe writing for myself.
Making very delicious sauces.
Yes. Also, I'm a co-founder of Too Hot Asians. This is not an ad. Sorry. Not an ad, guys, but I'm a co-founder of Too Hot Asians. We do XO sauce and sambal, and we've done a few pop-ups and supper clubs around London.
Can you imagine if we invited someone on, we were like, you're not allowed to talk about any of the businesses that you have?
What do you talk about? Well, my cats, my dogs.
The Mama DaCosta XO sauce that Anna sells to Too Hot Asians is the most delicious thing in the world.
Oh, thank you.
I went through a phase where I was putting it in all of my meals.
I did send you a very big jar for your birthday, didn't
you? You did. It says Sophie's birthday XO sauce on it. It was so nice.
But also, can I just say that you have now become Mama DaCosta. You've kind of gone through a little bit of a rebrand recently.
Yeah, so I am now becoming Mama DaCosta. So I am 25 weeks pregnant.
Woo!
Yeah. That's almost 6 months for those who don't count weeks.
Are you going to change your professional name to Mama DaCosta?
I'm not sure. I do love Lots of Butter, and everybody knows me by Lots of Butter. So going to, you know, changing to Mama DaCosta seems a bit, I don't know. Am I not? We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I would also love if whenever anyone announced they were pregnant, they were like, I'm going through a bit of a rebrand. I'm becoming a mother.
That is me. You know, I have, you know, this is so weird, but like starting out and doing, you know, a bit of cooking and all this, you kind of become a brand.
Especially if
you're not really a chef, but you're not really a blogger, you're not really this and that. So you kind of become, like, I'm not an influencer at all either. So
I don't know.
I'm just a person that, you know, have become known for food.
That's the best way to do it. Yeah. It just organically slips in that way.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that we've all kind of, well, there's a lot of people that I think would put themselves in that bracket that we know.
Definitely. Definitely.
Myself exactly. included, even though I don't cook.
Myself included, even though I
You're foodies.
Cook.
Foodies.
Yeah. Foodies, whinies.
Foodie, yeah. whiny girls.
And you're looking so brown. Where have you been?
So I just came back from Italy, but before that we were in Lisbon. So, you know, I've got two tans here, two layers. We just came from Lake Garda, me and my partner, for his sister's wedding. It was lovely. But,
oh, it was a wedding.
Yeah, yeah, we went to a wedding. I actually had two weddings for that weekend, so I had to pick one, unfortunately.
Oh, that's rough. So you picked the one with the holiday attached.
Well, I picked the one that would piss my boyfriend less, basically.
The family wedding.
The family wedding.
Family generally wins, doesn't it?
Exactly. I couldn't say
if you
no.
like your family.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereabouts in Italy did you say?
So we went to Lake Garda area. So we stayed in Torre del Benaco. And it was a bit disappointing for me. I just found it a little bit touristy trap. So like a lot of places were just made for tourists. And
what was the food like?
The food was all right, but like all the menus they had like English and German translations, like
because of all the German tourists.
Yeah,
in Lake
Garda. Exactly. So it was just so bizarre. Like I didn't feel like I was in Italy because usually my experience in Italy is like I go to a place and nobody speaks English.
Mm-hmm.
So. To go to Italy and then everybody speaking, like the waiter spoke English and perfect German. So I was just like, where am I?
I was like, you sure you weren't in Germany?
I know. I was like, am I in Italy? Like, but yeah, we were in Italy, which is very touristy trap. And we probably wouldn't go there again, but it's lovely. It's very
Pisteresque. That's if you really hate the way something looks. It's pisteresque.
Picturesque. Sorry. I got there.
I feel like everyone's having a wedding abroad at the moment.
I don't know if this is a really dumb opinion to state on such a public forum, but I generally am kind of anti abroad weddings unless you've got a tie to a place. I feel like asking your friends and family to take time off, pay for flights, pay for accommodation, unless it's something that you know that it's a small wedding and everyone's going to be really down to do. It can be quite hard, especially if there's, you know, multiple in a year.
Yeah.
If someone's asking you to go to Italy, someone's asking you to go to France, someone's asking you to go to, I don't know, Mexico, in the same summer. It's like, how much holiday do you think I have? And how much money do you think I have?
I'd only do it if I was absolutely minted and I could pay for everyone to come. No, I'd buy a coach. Everyone gets on by a box park.
Do you know the TV show that I really miss, Coach Trip? Did you ever watch Coach Trip?
I never watched that.
I think I've heard about it, but I don't really.
Oh my God, it was iconic. It was basically various pairs got on this coach and did a coach trip around Europe. And at the end of every stop, you got to vote a different couple off the coach. And then a different couple would get on the coach.
Strictly
at that
come
stop.
Coaching.
It was unbelievable. If you can find an episode on 4OD anywhere, honestly.
It was on E4, wasn't it?
It was
and
on
then
E4.
The guy that does
Brendan,
the coach, he's a bit of a character, isn't he?
He was
the personality.
An absolute icon. Brendan from Coach Trip. What a guy. That's really unlocked a memory thinking about that.
Mm.
Oh, the best.
Yeah, I would only have I think that's actually quite a good vibe, but maybe have a wedding that's, I don't know, maybe like northern France, so I don't know, like Burgundy or Champagne, and get everyone
cars.
A coach. Everyone
yes.
can get a coach.
Yes.
You're in like the Crosby wagon.
This is no shade to your sister-in-law, by the way. I'm sure that her wedding was, I suddenly realised, I was like, oh shit.
Do you know what?
Slagging it off and you just went to one.
Do
your
you know
sister-in-law.
What? Me and Sam were the only ones who went on EasyJet. Everybody else paid for British Airways.
Really?
So,
but isn't British Airways like a massive sham at the moment?
Well, they're also a little bit more expensive. So
you don't have to pay
for
your bags separately though, which you do. EasyJet and Ryanair now though.
Yeah.
Did you see that picture of Michael Gove being held up at an airport for a flight cancelled due to Brexit? And he's just standing there looking so depressed and sad and old and gross.
I love that. That is exactly the fate he deserves.
Yeah, it was perfect.
I've got other hot political gossip for you. But before then, should we talk about what we're drinking and what we're eating before we get too overexcited?
A little bit about what we're drinking. So we are drinking cocktails. So we're going for a little bit of a vibe shift this evening.
I love this.
Yes, Anna, give us the ASMR. So we're doing cocktails two ways. So I will add that the kind of like, I don't know, liquor replacement, because obviously we knew you were coming on, Anna.
And
you can't have much alcohol. By much alcohol, I mean no alcohol. You're very pregnant. So I've got about four bottles on my drinks cabinet of Mother Root, which are this British-based Switchel brand. I've met Beth and the founder a few times. And I just thought it'd be perfect to make like a virgin Bloody Mary. Me and Soph both have a shot of mezcal in it, and it works just as well.
Why not? Why not?
Oh, it's so good. So Mother Root was founded by amazing Beth, and she started making it when she was pregnant. As an alcohol-free alternative. She was like super exhausted as a mum and needed like an option,
a little kick,
but was alcohol-free. So she started making, well, Switchel's usually an American drink. I think at one point it used to be like the most popular drink in America. It's made up of ginger, apple cider, and something sweet, like usually like honey or like maybe molasses. I've never had molasses. I think that's an American thing. But I've got mine with a shot of mezcal. I usually have it with maybe a bit of tonic water and a squeeze of lime. But yeah, we've got tomato juice, Worcester sauce, Mother Root, and some tasty hot sauce. How are you finding it, babes?
I really love it. I'm a massive fan of Bloody Marys in general. So drinking this kind of reminds me of being like a little bit hungover in the morning on a weekend and, you know, just having a Bloody Mary.
But also, but our meal today is pretty tomato-based, and tomatoes are infamously super, 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 super difficult to pair because it's like the fruit-vegetable debate. They're sweet, they're savory.
They're acidic.
They're acidic. So I thought, what would pair really well with tomatoes? More tomatoes!
More tomatoes!
And what a beautiful dish we have. I actually haven't had any yet because I've got my laptop on my lap. But while you do your spiel, no, it's fine. I'll pop this here.
Pop
it
down.
While you do your spiel, I'm going to have a little gobble.
So today we've got a lamb uvetsi, which is basically a Greek lamb stew that's got loads of cinnamon and tomatoes.
Oh, that's so good.
Yes,
it
I'm
is so
glad.
Lovely.
And then you cook orzo in it at the last minute. It's so delicious. I had it first on holiday in Crete when I was maybe 16. It's been on my mind ever since. One of the key ingredients in this is red wine. And the red wine has very kindly been supplied by Outpour, who are this really amazing wine company. It was set up by a lovely lady called Joanne, who was basically really disenfranchised by wine being quite a boys' club.
Yep.
As I'm sure you can attest to.
Preach. Yeah.
And you know how she'd go to restaurants and the wine would always be offered to the other man around the table. And she really felt like it wasn't a world that was being opened up to women very much. So she set up a wine company that was very much targeted at getting women involved in wine in a really fun, approachable way. All the women, all the people who do the wine tastings for the company are women. So it's all female approved wines. But the wine that we have got for the stew today, I talked to Joanne about what I was planning on cooking and she very kindly recommended a wine that she thought would be perfect for it. So today we've got an Italian Nebbiolo, which is quite light and acidic. It's from just north of Barolo, which is produces slightly lighter and more acidic wines than those from south Barolo. And it's definitely got notes of cinnamon in there as well,
which goes really well with the cinnamon
in the dish. And yeah, it's bloody lovely, as I'm sure.
Oh, so good. This is proper comfort food. I think especially seeing as we had, our producer had a little bit of a mare. We got a text, Sophie, earlier today, like, it is raining cats and dogs in Bethnal Green right now. We're like, no, it'll be nice.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
But if it was still raining, thankfully it has stopped because it was torrential. But if it was still raining and I was tucked up inside and you guys weren't here and I was on my own and I had a few cats, this is exactly what I would want to be eating.
This is perfect bowl food. Bit of drizzle outside, curled up on the sofa, blanket, shit telly on.
Cats. Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Absolutely
cats.
Agree.
Definitely cats. Definitely cats. But yeah, thank you very much, Outpour and Mother Root, for your contributions today, because we're absolutely loving this meal.
I am aghast. How are you finding it, Anna?
I love it. And thank you so much, girls, because this is freaking amazing.
A lot of lovely ladies. Excellent. A lot of lovely female founders on this episode. Lots of
I know, this is what we
energy.
Like. Speak of the political gossip. Please get into it. Boris Johnson is moving to my parents' area.
No.
Potentially even their very street.
No.
My parents had a Telegraph journalist show up at their house yesterday, ask if they knew which number house Boris was buying.
Oh, how do you
is
feel?
Is that not outrageous?
Mr. and Mrs. Wybird, how do you feel about Boris living in the street?
My sister said that she was going to train the dog to shit on his doorstep every night.
Yes, please.
You know what would be a really good passive-aggressive thing to do? Like, turn up on the first day, like, bring some flowers. They're like, hey, mate, like, if you've got any, like, Amazon packages, just, like, let
we've
us
got
know.
Them. Don't you
like,
worry,
like, leave them and then just, like, steal them. Or throw them in the bin.
Yeah, it's illegal to open someone else's post, isn't it? Yeah. I was going to say get all his secrets, but get done for that.
Fuck.
Whoops. It's going to be fun, though. It's going to be a wild ride. There's going to be crazy police presence on the road as well, I imagine.
Crazy police presence, lots of
protesters,
domestics.
Loads of domestics. Maybe the worst neighbour you could possibly have is Boris Johnson.
I think so, yeah. Hasn't he gotten someone else pregnant as well?
His hairdresser, apparently, which is what's harder to believe. That he has
Does
a
he
hairdresser.
Have one?
Literally. Wild.
Do you know
what?
This is really funny because I was... my part-time job... I work as a duty manager at Mission Kitchen, and one of the members there, Ed, he was showing me a video of his of Boris Johnson's wedding and his dance, the first dance.
No,
how does he have it?
Someone sent it to him.
No, it's like it's on Twitter. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, so they're dancing to Sweet Caroline.
Really?
I think it's the first dance. I don't know if it's a
that's
fast,
such a gammon
first
song.
One or not, but
yeah, that's such a gammon song. Oh,
big gammon energy.
And he's just like bopping around, like, you know, the his dancing moves like that, but on his wedding day.
Right.
It's horrible.
It looks like his wife is like giving a dance at this old geriatric. Who's like,
it's like
dream.
A daddy daughter first dance.
Oh, no. That got a bit weird. Oh, God. But yeah, it looks like it's kind of like one of his last wishes that his daughter gives him a dance at her wedding. But no, he's the groom, very much the groom.
Who would want to marry him? He's just, like, I'm all about, you know, looking within your soul for like that inner beauty thing.
It's not so nice in there either, though, is
it? Yeah, it's not.
I actually don't know which is uglier.
Exactly. Yeah, well.
It's odd.
I thought you said inner booty. I was like, oh.
Booty.
Yeah, get the booty.
Yeah, I've got a really flat arse, but my inner booty is gorgeous.
You should look at it.
Absolutely. Speaking of disgusting tax dodgers. So the fact that Shakira is going to prison and everyone's like, oh, baby girl. Oh no. Shakira can
so
go to prison. I was like, no. Like, if like, a Tory MP did the exact same thing, you'd be like, get in the bin.
Exactly.
What do you reckon Shakira's political views are? I reckon she has a potential to be quite right-wing.
Yeah, it's always like people that have kind of come from like maybe like disenfranchised kind of developing country, and then as soon as they get a leg up, they're like, fuck you guys.
I'm dodging caps.
What's the...
Actually, I want to look...
I'm dodging tax.
I want to look up what Shakira's actual background is.
She's Colombian.
Is she from money, though?
I don't think so.
Is she from some kind of right-wing nobility?
She got discovered when she was very, 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 very young. Her first, because she's so big in South America, I think one of her first big hits was when she was about 17.
Oh, wow.
So she's been doing this for a while. So I'm thinking...
At least, 20 years?
Yeah. Either nepotism baby or plucked from obscurity.
Well, either way... I'm losing
spoken,
it today.
Spoken truly as I'm someone like, who couldn't find the... Well,
either way. I thought it was in a Wikipedia hole of Shakira, Jesus Christ. Right, Sophie, get your brain back on. Brain back on.
I'm supposed to be the one with a baby brain here, Sophie.
I know, jeez.
Are you hiding
losing
a secret?
The words.
Are you hiding a secret?
Have you found... I think I've already asked you this question, but it was maybe quite early on in your pregnancy. Also, we'll talk about... when you got pregnant, which I'm still like quite tweaked out about. I wasn't there, but I may as well have been.
you were almost there.
Yeah, I was almost there. But yeah, have you found that you've had any kind of symptoms or what's the ride been? Has it been bumpy?
Well, so the first trimester, I've been really tired. Just like all I wanted to do was sleep and rest. No nausea. I was very lucky. I was one of those few women that did. I didn't throw up once. If I did... that's a lie. I did throw up in Italy, but only because I overate. I overate. My stomach is really big now. I got a big belly. I sat down, and you know when you're just like everything just crunches, and then you're just like, ooh, I think I just like,
oh yeah,
just there's I don't no have any space. Yeah. So I had a little, you know, vom in Italy, romantic, right? But other than that, no vomiting, no nausea. No, nothing. Yeah. I'm swelling now. Like my feet look like little sausages. My toes look like little sausages.
No, I wouldn't say they so. I mean, they're brown, but that's about as sausage-like as you get.
No, but they were quite, well, I think it depends. If I'm not walking too much, then it's fine. But if I spend a whole day walking, then my feet look like little sausages. Well, I've got, I think, well, Mr. Google has told me that I might have carpal tunnel. So like, you know, when your hands and your fingers are numb. And that's a common symptom from pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Yeah, so it's not fun.
Oh, I thought that was when you got older. That's the pregnancy thing.
Yeah, it's a pregnancy thing. I don't know if it's also because I'm sleeping on my side a lot now, because that's the only position I can get to, really. But yeah,
I've only ever slept on my side.
No, I'm a back
my
sleeper.
My hands are okay. They work.
Oh no! Maybe it's the swelling as well. I feel like everything. I'm just big now.
No, you're beautiful.
I was going to say like one of the side effects is that your jawline looks really defined now, which is not
does
to say not to say that it didn't look, but like I've noticed like a clear kind of
really
shoulders.
Do you know what? I
shoulders, think, jawline, and neck vibe.
I think it's just the dress.
Yeah. It's very cute. But as I was alluding to earlier, so the first time that I hung out with Anna was 52 weeks ago or something like that.
Yeah.
We were in Shoreditch House and we were meeting up and we were talking about babies. Mm. And you were like, yeah, I think that me and my partner will have a baby. And I was like, yeah, I want a baby in like the next few years. And then when you got your pregnancy test and you found out what day it was exactly that day. So my conversation with you must have clearly inspired
That's
something
crazy.
Within you.
Yeah, it was
to get rammed.
Yeah, we were in Shoreditch. Yeah, I got really, really drunk that night as well. I remember, actually, I was drunk. I was already drunk when I was with you.
Really?
No, you got me drunk, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, yeah,
you
I
got
do
me
that.
Drunk.
True. Yeah, I did.
And
then
I went to see Sam and his mates in Dalston, and I got extra drunk. I got really drunk that night, yeah. But now I'm sober, yeah. I've been sober.
I should hope so.
I've been sober for the past 4 and a bit months. Ever since I found out.
Have you got any... Have you found that not drinking booze has helped?
I feel like I'm more of a social drinker.
Mm.
I found out that I'm definitely a social drinker. I don't really miss drinking at home at all. I think I did a lot of drinking at home when I was mostly single. I don't know if that's a single thing to do, but you know, you're bored, you got your cats. So
have a
you
glass
just,
of wine.
Yeah,
have a bottle.
Or a bottle. Yeah.
been there.
But ever since I've been in a relationship, haven't really drank much at home unless drinking with Sam. And I am a social drinker, I think. And unless I'm in social situations like now, I don't really miss it too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We were talking about something earlier, which is that you've started wearing shorts under your clothes, which I've also started doing. It's I don't know if you've watched Arrested Development.
Yes, I have. I haven't watched all of it, but yes.
Have you seen the bits where Tobias, who's one of the husbands, he wears denim shorts under all his clothes and he calls himself a never nude. No. And I've basically become a never nude, but with black cycling shorts. All the time. But now the heat has died down. Listener, we're coming off the back of the fucking mental heat wave again.
Fuck.
Part two. I mean, it's still probably a balmy 24 degrees, but it's not in the 30s and I'm thankful for that.
Same, sister, same. Yeah, I've been wearing little shorts as well because with the weight gain, baby weight gain, whatever, and the heat, you just like, you let your thighs just chafe and it's just, it's painful.
It's crazy, but I'm reformed now. I want to wear them all the time. I feel naked without them on right now. I feel very
they're so nice.
Right
I can literally
fucking diet, Australia. I'm not wearing any shorts this
time. I'm not wearing my shorts today.
I've been a real bad girl. I forgot to put my shorts on today. I left my shorts at home. What's the Margot Robbie says in Wolf of Wall Street? I decided to throw all my shorts away. But Sophie's also wearing like a foot-length dress. So.
It's true. I'm also wearing underwear.
Not we can't see anything. You're not missing out.
It's so nice to wear those shorts because I'm literally sitting here in the sofa with my legs pretty open. And
long dresses sort you out. Shorts sort you out.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think there's something that happens as you get older as a woman, you do need to wear anti-chafe shorts. I didn't think this day would ever come, and here I am.
I think for me, it's just the extra balls of pasta.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Which happens as you get older.
Yeah, I can't wait. I just realised that we didn't have these on here.
Oh, so these are my little snacky boos.
So Anna has bought us some treats to eat as well as the... also that we just demolished. Anna, what have you got us?
So these are part of my and dime menu. This is a little side project I'm doing, which I can explain later. But these are Mapo Tofu pies in Portuguese. Well, the pastry is empada pastry. So it's like flour. It's flour, lard, butter, and olive oil. So like all the best fats you can have.
Oh, yeah.
And inside is just a traditional Sichuan mapo tofu.
Amazing.
Yeah. Wow, and, thank you.
I thought, you know, my mom always taught me to not show up empty-handed, so...
You actually once came to my house for dinner, the least empty-handed I've ever seen a person. Anna came to my house for dinner and she brought a bottle of wine, a plant, some Dreamies for my cat.
Yes. Oh my God.
And some Exo sauce, of course. Like the nicest guest gift ever.
Well, you always have to bring something, like especially for dinner. If someone's inviting you for dinner, I think it's just like etiquette to bring a little something. It doesn't have to be expensive. It could be just like a flower or like...
It could be a bar of chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. But bring something as a thank you for inviting me over, for having me. And
I totally agree.
It's our total pleasure. By our, I mean me and Sophie.
Because if you think I'm going to...
Yeah, I'm going in.
Oh, both fucking good.
Mm. I wish this was a visual podcast. You could see our faces as we bit into those.
So,
Anna, these are amazing.
These were made freshly today.
Just for you guys. Oh, my God. Mm. Can you tell the listener a bit about what is in it?
So, the filling is the Sichuan Mapo Tofu. So, it's a minced pork tofu and... you've got Sichuan peppercorns, the numbing peppercorn, chili oil, and the spicy bean.
So if you just tried to take a picture and Anna put her legs together.
Yeah.
I'm focusing on the pie, don't you worry.
Because my mom always taught me not to, if anybody's going to take a picture of you, make sure that you look, you know, presentable. And I just had my legs.
Presentable.
You look really great.
Well, I just had my legs wide open.
Why did I look?
So yeah, so this is usually served with white rice, and whatever you want to serve it with. But I just decided to put it in empada. So like empada is this little pie that they do in Portugal, usually with chicken or like, there's a million other fillings, but the most common one in Portugal is chicken. And so I decided to fill it up with mapo tofu.
So it's both parts of your heritage. Yeah. In a pie.
I am always so blown away with how you're able to kind of like ingeniously combine those two parts of your identity. Because when you do, I'm trying to think of some of the dishes, but when you've done some dishes, I'm like, oh my God, of course. Why wouldn't you do that with that? Like, it's so genius. I'm trying to think of some examples.
I think it's just like, you know, growing up, because I was born in, and I grew up until I was, 18 in Macau, Southeast China. So I had both influences. I had the Portuguese influence and also the Chinese. So it just comes very natural to me to marry those two cultures in anything, like, you know, in drinks, in food, or like, you know, socializing, like my mannerisms maybe as well. Like, yeah.
It's just how you were brought up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just me
all the time.
Yeah. So one of the things that, so when Endad asked me to talk about myself, I was like, oh, my food. I was like, well, I wouldn't. One of the things that I said is like, my food, it might not be authentic, but is authentically me.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah,
yeah, it's not authentic as it's not just Chinese or it's not just Portuguese. It's a fusion, and that's me. So yeah,
it's so good as well. I've just demolished that pie in record
time.
It's so tasty.
I'm pacing myself. You can have some of mine if you want, Hannah. But oh, so good,
delicious.
Thank you, girls.
I love it, and you can taste that. It is so you, and the love that goes into it. Unreal.
I think it's one of the the dishes that I'm most proud of that I've come up with, because it's just like something I love eating. Like, I love a pie, but I also love a mapo tofu. So something a bit spicy and savory. Like, yeah.
And where will you be able to get these pies?
So you can get these from from Endine, endine.com. If you look up Mama Da Costa, you'll see my menu. As are the dishes as well. But these pies are my
pride and joy. How do you spell Endine?
Andine.
Amazing.
Endine. Yeah.
Oh.
Amazing. They've got also the chefs there. So it's like a platform for London. Well, the delivery is only within London, M25. And it's all for home cooks. Or like if you're a chef, but you want to do something at home. Or like in my case, I'm taking like a bit of a time off. Mm-hmm. From work, so I'll have a lot more time at home, so I can make extra money by sharing my food in another way.
I'll be buying so many.
Amazing! Oh, it's so genius.
I'm going to single-handedly fund you having a baby.
Thank you, Sophie.
You're going to pay for the nappies,
all the nappies, all the bibs, all that cash coming your way via pies.
Well, you know where I live, girl.
I'm coming for you.
What did you do this weekend?
Oh, we both had quite big weekends this weekend, yeah. Didn't we?
I think this is possibly the worst weather. Ironically, it's the time of year that you're most likely to have a hangover, but it's the worst weather to have a hangover in.
The really, really crippling heat. So Hannah was hungover because she was celebrating her birthday last weekend.
Woo! 1 second. Woo! Keep going. I'm joking.
Yay!
Yeah, I might add that it isn't my actual birthday, but being a Virgo, I did send around a Google form beforehand to see, because my birthday is on the bank holiday and no one's ever fucking around. Well, maybe that's just a thing that I got from like being a teenager and everyone being at Reading and Leeds.
Do you know, I actually am around on the bank holiday and I ironically wasn't around for your birthday
Same.
Party last week. So.
Same.
Oops.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not hurt by it at all. I only cry about it every so often. But yeah, no, it was good. Went to the pub around the corner, started at 2.
Very civilised time.
Left at 12.
Yes, perfect.
I think it was the right time to go when 6 people separately asked me if I needed some water.
Ooh.
Well, I'd be surprised if 10 hours later you didn't need any.
I was pretty cunted. I had been going for a while, and also when I get drunk, I get very low energy and I really start to slur my words. Like, that's the only way. So I was going, like, really? And yeah, everyone was
Are
like,
you sure that's not just your Scottish coming out?
That might be my Scottish accent. I do also get more Scottish when I'm drunk. But I was drinking beer and beer makes me sleepy. I've been trying to drink more spirits, but last time I got spirits drunk, I was out with our mutual friend Easter Belfridge,
and
she doesn't drink wine, so frankly I'm really surprised we've managed to sustain a friendship, but she only drinks cocktails or straight mezcal, like that's her thing.
Whoa.
So I was like, you know what, we got to the restaurant, we went to Oran in Dalston, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna do a bit of you tonight, I'm gonna see how I go. I'm also a very fast drinker. Which
just
works when it's pints.
Necking the mezcal.
So I was necking margaritas, and by the end, like, I had to get picked up, and I was like really Scottish and really energetic. And apparently I was like such an annoying drunk, so I've decided to not really get spirits drunk since.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Do you know what the way to sustain yourself drinking beers is, which what? I'm so pro, having a lemonade top.
Mm.
Ooh. Everyone takes a piss out of me for being a granny, like, but I back it so much. A shandy is a bit much. A lemonade top.
I don't mind a shandy, you know. Shandy is like,
I love a shandy also.
Yeah, it's just so easy to drink as well, because like you, it cuts off half of the, you know, the bubbles.
The first drink of the day, if you're a bit hungover, to have a pint shandy.
I heard it was delicious. It wasn't a shandy. It was a cider. Was it, or I can't remember, cider mixed with alcopop? I can't remember. Was it
like a VK?
Yeah, I can't remember. Someone told me something like that, and I was like, but maybe it was just bullshit. And I was just
is it one of those things like a cheeky Vimto?
Yeah, kind of like
a cheeky Vimto is port and WKD, isn't it?
We've had a lot of
those. I thought that was cough syrup.
No, a cheeky Vimto.
Do you know what? It does taste a little
WKD.
Bit like cough syrup.
It does. Yeah. Cough syrup and Vimto, I guess, which have a similar flavour profile.
I remember when I used to pretend to be ill so my mum would give me Calpol. I love Calpol so much.
I love Benylin still. Do you know about Benylin?
No, I've never
Benylin
had
chesty
either of them. No, Calpol. Oh, well, I didn't grow up here, so.
So what was the equivalent?
What's the Chinese equivalent of Calpol?
Well, there's this herbal remedy thingy, a cough syrup, and it kind of tastes like a sweeter Jägermeister, but like a nice Jägermeister, like a sweet mental Jägermeister. I don't know how to explain, but what's the name? I only remember the end of it. It's Pei Pako. That's in Cantonese for the
Amazing.
Yeah, it just tastes so good. And I could easily have like the whole bottle.
I'm not anti Jägermeister, to be honest. Yeah, bring it on.
It's good.
Benlin's actually quite Jägermeister as well. So maybe I'll have to get you a bottle of Benlin.
We can do a swapsies.
Yeah.
I always, because in America they have lean. And I don't, well, that's not as like a, yeah. Not as like
they don't sell it in the shops.
They don't sell in the shops. They don't sell it as like a regulated medicine. But lean is it's codeine, right? Because you can get liquid codeine in America, and it's pretty
codeine is
it's pretty unregulated. But I remember when I was listening to rap songs, when I was maybe about 17, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna pour codeine all over your chest," and I was like, "How can you do that?" Like,
not
I can only think of like pill format.
Pills, dusty pills. I'm going to crush the pills and put it all over your.
Yeah.
Feels your quite boobies. Ineffectual, to be honest. No.
Yeah, but lean is purple, so it must be mixed with like Vimto.
Is lean the same as purple drink? That's the whitest thing I've ever said.
Is it the same as purple drink?
Is lean the same as purple drink?
Let me look up the mixology of.
This is a drinks podcast, ladies and gentlemen, and we are providing you with a crucial drinks information.
What is the purple drink? Oh, so the first thing that came up when I searched that was from the NHS, drug addiction, getting help.
Call Frank.
Oh, lean, open brackets, purple drink.
There we go.
Codeine cough syrup, soda, and hard candy.
We sound like mums.
Hard candy.
What's hard candy?
I think it's just the literal hard candy, but they just melt, just dissolves in the drink, doesn't it?
Oh, really?
I think so. I don't know. I'm assuming that's what it is. Like, you know when you infuse vodkas and stuff with candies?
Like a Skittle vodka.
Yes, exactly. And then just infuses.
It must be.
So purple drink is just like Skittle vodka plus.
Plus codeine.
Interesting. Sounds wild, to be fair. Well, my weekend didn't have purple drink in it.
Yeah, what was the reason that you didn't come to my party, Sophie?
I told you, Hannah. That's the only thing I couldn't do. This is actually the only weekend in August I've had booked for ages, which was my first day festival I've been to for a very long time.
Mm.
I went to the Fortet all day thing in Finsbury Park, which I was kind of worried about because it was going to be 38 degrees and I'm ancient. But I went and everyone else there was ancient too. And by ancient, I mean not that ancient at all, but just not a Gen Z.
Yeah.
So basically everyone was kind of my age and older. There were lots of people in their 40s, 50s.
No.
And
you I feel like right Fortet brings out that crowd though.
Yeah. Like Cam's dad loves a bit of Fortet.
Mm.
I learnt. Crazy.
Like Fortet isn't really like EDM, like
No, and it's quite a nice, he played a really nice varied set. There was something for everyone in there. It was really good fun actually. So yeah, maybe I'm going to be back on the club scene. Who fucking knows? Maybe I'm getting back out there. Woo!
Can we please just wait until the baby comes out so we can all party? Because I'm getting massive FOMO.
Okay, once baby's out, and we'll leave her with your partner to be okay. Babysat.
No, baby can come out.
She's coming to the clue.
No. I'm not changing nappies, please.
No, totally fair. Totally fair.
I'm not like there drinking and then like, you know,
pass around just like some random, like the most responsible looking person in the club. Like, hey, do you mind?
Do you mind?
You ever changed a nappy before?
You'll be having a cig outside being like, sorry, I'm actually quite busy.
I'm busy, baby. Busy, baby, okay? Can you just hold your shit? Please just hold it for the next 10 hours.
So speaking of Gen Z, on the list of things to talk about, so if you've put light language on TikTok.
Oh my God.
What is this?
Okay,
does that not just mean like...
So there's this person on TikTok that I've become deeply obsessed with. I should probably clarify that I've never posted anything on TikTok, but I just lurk in the shadows at what other people are doing. And there's this particular creator in the States who I've become absolutely obsessed with. I don't think she's developed it, but she's studied this thing called light language, where she basically makes all these crazy noises and they're supposed to target different things. And everyone's being horrible to her in her comments and she's just a positive ray of light.
Aww.
I should also clarify this by saying that I'm not a spiritual person at all, but I really enjoy listening to other people talk about their spirituality.
Okay.
And this light language has really, really got to me. I lie in bed listening to it and like...
Is this a cult?
I feel like I'm going to laugh at this.
You are going to laugh at this. I know you are. And know that I find it a bit funny too, but I also just enjoy it so much. The woman who does it is the most wholesome looking woman in the world, so I'll show you that afterwards. So this one is supposedly for weight loss. You're supposed to listen to this three times over.
Oh.
So, you ready?
I can feel the pounds dropping off.
No, but honestly, like, please explain. I want to, like,
you release your energetic baggage.
Yeah, but how do you? But who invented this? How does she know that what she's pronouncing means that you are?
But look how cute she is.
Let me see.
Yeah, but I mean,
of course she's white. Of course she's white.
Of course she is. This is white people's stuff.
Yeah.
And you, I mean, you're the whitest between the two of us here. Sorry, Sophie.
It's but true.
I feel like that's
I think we can positively say that.
I feel like that's why you've fallen into this, you know, light I would like, language.
I don't believe that light language is going to heal me of any of my ailments,
but you feel happier, right?
She just brings me good vibes.
Mate, we only listened to that once. We need to listen to it two more times.
You get it two more times. And then you're going to wake up in the morning, size four. Well, nice. I don't want that to be fair.
Do you reckon that she said you have to listen to it three times so that she goes viral on TikTok?
Up the views.
I think so.
Oh my God, I've been had. I've been so had.
Hey guys, did you know that if you like and subscribe, you'll lose £10?
I'm such a gullible little shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry all the way home now.
And if you share it, you're just going to have a, you know, Kylie Jenner's body.
Yeah,
obviously my boyfriend thinks I'm fucking mad when I sit in bed scrolling through being like, oh, that's cute. He's like, what are you doing?
I can't believe you didn't see through the disguise. That's what I'm here for.
One of my other, well, it's not even a favourite news story, it's just something that's come up this week, is that Florence Pugh and Zach Braff have broken up. So for those who don't know, Zach Braff is in his late 40s, Florence Pugh in her kind of mid to late 20s. And their relationship for the last few years has been under so much media scrutiny for the age gap.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically came out in an interview and said, we wanted to break up privately because we knew that everyone was going to have so much to say about it. Likewise, Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian have broken up in the last couple of weeks. So it's all the kind of, well, not all of them, but
so
some age gap, public facing relationships have occurred in the last couple of weeks. And it just got me thinking about how involved we get in other people's business in that regard, and whether that is helpful in any way, shape or form, or whether it is just neggy judgment. I don't know what you think.
I think the reason that we're so involved in these kind of things is because, I don't know, I've only got a few friends. There's only so many relationships I can comment on.
People are bored, people are fucking bored.
Also, it's entertainment. Boredom.
And if you put your relationship out there in any form, if it's social media or if it's like, I don't know, whatever, people are going to look at it. I mean, they have no choice because you've put it out
there. You've literally put it there. Mm. It's there for everyone to see.
I mean, it's not good to judge other people, obviously, but that's the consequences.
How do you feel in general about men going out of women 20 years their junior?
Well, my parents had a 17-year-old gap. So.
There you go. It's fine.
It worked for them. It was my mum's Chinese. It's the complete cliche. My mum's Chinese, younger wife. My dad, white Portuguese, older gent, and it worked for them. But you know, it takes a lot of, a marriage takes a lot of work, a relationship takes a lot of work, and it's give and take, regardless of your age or not.
Mm-hmm.
I just, yeah.
Obviously not social media scrutiny, because your mum, I imagine, isn't quite Kim K levels of fame, but did they have scrutiny amongst people around them why are you going out with this old dude?
No, the worst were my dad's kids. So like my half siblings, they were the worst to my mom. So they used to belittle her. Like they used to basically treat her as if she was a maid in the house.
Whoa.
Love that bit of internalized racism right there.
No,
wow.
But definitely like they didn't call her by her name. They called her Amui. Amui is basically like either like Amui means the girl, like a girl.
Oh, so, wow. Like,
that's so disrespectful.
So they used to call her that. So it was really sad. But, you know, my parents liked each other very much. Loved each
it
other
was
very
worth
much.
It.
And yeah. Yeah.
It's if definitely. You're going into a relationship for the right reasons. And and also because I think, I don't know why, I don't know if Florence Pugh and Zach, what's his face, gave a reason for breaking up. But the reason that I heard that Kim K and Pete Davidson broke up is because they're both at completely different life stages and he just didn't get that she had kids. He'd be like, oh, I'll fly out. She's like, I can't.
She's like, I've got stuff on.
But besides having kids, I'm literally Kim fucking Kardashian.
Besides from the whole kind of, you know, logistics of relationships and why that not work, I wonder like what is actually the reason for the negativity towards age gap relationships? Like where does it stem from? Is it just feeling a bit uncomfortable with it?
Maybe that, and maybe, well, because I don't think I judge it too much, but I do see the difference of like, you know, when you meet younger people and you just can't relate to them.
I
think that's the judgment that people have towards those relationships is like, because you can't relate to younger people, older people, doesn't mean that that couple can't.
Because everyone's brains are different ages.
Yeah,
there's some very immature 70-year-olds out there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And some incredibly mature 15-year-olds.
It's all about intention. I think that we tend to think very differently whether a man in the relationship is much older as opposed to whether a woman in the relationship 100%. Is much older. Because if it's an older woman, they're like, wee. Like, but if it's an older man,
sexy.
But then also when it's an older man, like a lot of women possibly very rightfully think, is there exploitation going on there?
Because
100%.
It's something I say all the time. 90% of women are great, 90% of men are shit.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, the obvious one in popular culture of the older women in a relationship is Sam Taylor Johnson and Aaron Johnson.
Oh, I love them so much.
So Aaron Johnson was an actor. Well, he still is an actor. But when they got together, I think he was 18 and she was in her maybe late 40s.
Yeah.
But they've been happily married for years. I mean, the media attention towards her and their marriage has always been entirely negative.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, good to know that... I mean, not good to know at all. What the fuck am I talking about? The negative attention is equally weighted towards men in younger relationships and women in younger relationships.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It seems to exist across the board that people generally feel quite uncomfortable with people of a certain age going out with much younger
people.
That's
the thing, what is anybody's fucking business? Like,
just leave them to it. Also, it's not like Aaron Taylor Johnson was like 14.
Yeah. He was an adult. Yeah.
And maybe he was very mature. I'm sure he was.
He seems like a nice guy.
Otherwise, she probably wouldn't have wanted to marry him.
Or maybe she was. She is very mature. I mean,
yeah. Maybe she's 18 at heart.
Exactly.
Yeah. I will say that I was actually having a conversation about this subject the other day, but not kind of like big age gap relationships. But you know, when you're like 16, 17, and someone you know's got a boyfriend who's 24, and you're like, wow, that's so glamorous. Yeah. And then when you turn 24, you're like, what the fuck?
Why was he driving to my school and picking her up? That is outrageous.
I actually have a funny story about that.
Okay.
I don't know how much I should say, but you know what? So when I was 15, I used to have a massive crush on my friend's cousin, and he was a lawyer and 15 years older than me. So he was 30 and I was 15. And one day getting, you know, smashed with my friends. And he was like, oh, do you need a ride home? And I was like, oh, okay. Okay, please drive me in your convertible. he drove me home. We kissed. And it's, you know, at that time, I didn't think that it was anything wrong.
But you think it's fucking sexy. You're like,
yeah.
Your brain isn't fully formed. Fully formed.
My teenage brain was looking at like Titanic and movies like that and thinking, that is men. That is who I want, like, who I want to kiss. I'm not even thinking about sex at that point, but... You know,
because we're taught to aspire to like men.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that's why so many women usually date older.
Yeah.
And men are kind of brought to be attracted to girls. They're looking for a child. Yeah.
But then like now, if you think about that, like I was 15 and he was 30. That is like, ooh.
Yes, dodgy.
That is
a 30-year-old guy should not be going after a 15-year-old, no matter how cool she is.
No, you should not even be like kissing.
She's Anna Da Costa, it's not cool. But then it also begs the question, if a 24-year-old or a 30-year-old is dating much younger than them, what is it about them that makes people their age not want to date them?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the red flag that would go off in my head. Yeah. At a point, I don't know what the age... both men and women mature enough to not be subject to that scrutiny anymore? Or is it always entirely dependent on the age gap?
Mm.
Like if you're, I don't know, Florence Pugh was obviously still subject to the scrutiny, having a boyfriend in his 40s when her 20s. I think she's maybe 26.
Would it make a difference if like they looked about the same age? Is it the looks or is it just the age itself?
I don't know.
She's quite youthful looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if she looked a bit older, like a little bit more meh.
Like she's an old soul though. In any interview I've read or heard with her, she seems like a very mature, intelligent woman.
Yeah, but the people that judge don't really look at your soul. They're going
straight for the face.
Exactly.
They're going, look at those baby cheeks.
Is it because of the age? I don't do oral readings. Yeah.
So I wonder.
I know, everyone's under scrutiny. No matter what we do, I mean, we're scrutinising them right now, so. Cancelled. We're cancelled. Here's an interesting one that I want to hear your opinions on. Roomba, you know those little house cleaning, little baby bots?
Oh, yeah.
It's just been bought by Amazon.
No!
You mean the little discs?
House cleaning things,
your little robot hoovers.
It's been bought by Amazon.
Why have they done that? They're going to be spying on us even more.
No. But then people have been saying, was listening to another podcast that we were talking about, and I thought it was really interesting. People have said, they're going to know what the inside of my house looks like.
They already know the
They're in there. That's very naive.
Amazon already know everything that's been delivered to your house.
I've got three Alexas at home. So I'm not the biggest fan of Amazon, but I do need Amazon in my life. It's so convenient. And I do have three of them. Alexas.
It meant Roombas. No. They're all going around.
I did quite want a Roomba, and I'm not sure I do.
I don't, because I think with cats, it's not going to work out that great.
Yeah,
is
Slinky's
it?
Just going to go get it. Also, if she's sick on the floor,
yeah, just going to
that's going everywhere.
Make a little Jackson Pollock kind of.
Oh yeah,
she's into. Have you seen the videos of the dog? Like, you know, they're trying to clean the dog poo, and it just smears all over. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Yeah. The other spy thing that really freaked me out this week is that. In a rogue turn of events, I was singing a B-side Gareth Gates single to Cam last week and asking him if he'd ever heard it, and he had no idea what I was talking about.
Can you sing it for me, please?
It can happen to any one of us, anyone you think, anyone, that's all. And
like a cute little couple in bed moment.
I was singing it to him, and he was like, "I don't know what song you're talking about."
I don't think I know it either. So
and
I
then
don't
it
blame
came,
him.
A video came up on my TikTok of Gareth Gates singing it live, and I was like, "Are you joking? It's here." And he said, "That's not a coincidence. TikTok is listening to your phone.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Do you have your microphone enabled on the TikTok app?" And I looked in, and I did, and it really bugged me out.
For a while, people were saying, "Oh, it's not listening to you. You're just
of
really predictable."
Of course,
No.
Gareth Gates' B-side single from 2002. I don't think they could have predicted that about me. I'm not sure I could have predicted that about me. God.
So we have a agony aunt section, Anna, and a few questions are actually sent in directed to you.
What?
Yeah.
Oh yes.
So,
you ready
Daniela,
to give some sage advice?
Well, I'll try.
Daniela gets in touch, and she says, "What would your advice be to someone who wants to start doing supper clubs, but by extending the invitation to actual customers who will pay for you and your services and not just family and friends? How do you make that transition?"
Well, if you are a confident cook and if you already have, some friends, at least in, you know, the industry, or friends that know people, or friends that are influencers that can share and help you, like, you know, that's a good start. And I think you should just do it. Because if you're worried about the logistics and stuff of it, you're never going to do it. So just get yourself out there. Even if you have to start at home with strangers, I don't know how safe you'd feel, but I know that you could do like a females only, like Sophie Mann does Man's Got Munch. That's her handle. Mm-hmm. She does a few supper clubs, just female only.
That's a great shout, actually. I've never thought of doing that.
So if you don't feel like you're ready for a restaurant, you know, scene yet, you could just invite women that want to pay, female customers that want to pay, and have them in your house.
If you feel safer. Such a good shout. And if you do want to get involved in doing it in spaces, how do you go about getting in touch with those restaurants? Do you literally just reach out?
Well, we've been very lucky that those restaurants have been reaching out to us. But I know the Counter Talk spaces, they're doing this this platform where either if you're a restaurant or a chef that does pop-ups, you can find a perfect venue for you. I would say if you're not comfortable doing that, you can just go on to, you know, follow some restaurants that you know, or follow people that have been doing supper clubs and see where their venues have been.
Mm. Yeah, so, that was a good shout.
You know, if they're open to do supper clubs quite often, or what's their plans, like summer plans and stuff like that, speak to them, speak to people, message people that already do supper clubs, and get help. And most importantly, either find a venue with a dishwasher or have a really good KP.
Yeah, I feel like that is, I'm looking to do a supper club quite soon in my house, and the KP situation is already making me stress, so I'm definitely going to get someone in.
Yeah, definitely. No, honestly, we've done two pop-ups, and two different pop-ups, at two different venues, and they didn't. We didn't have like a dishwasher, and it was horrendous. We had to do all the dishes ourselves, and it was just it was a nightmare. One of them, it took us about 3-4 hours to wash up.
Oh
everything.
My god! And after you've been on your feet all day prepping and doing service, that is the last thing you need.
Yeah, it was not fun.
So yeah, there you go.
Sage advice.
Ladies only in the house. If you, that feels like a safer environment.
Yeah.
And keep an eye out for what other people are doing. Also, counter-talk. Shout out counter-talk.
Yeah. Mm. Counter-talk spaces is a great, you know, place for you to find venues if you're looking for one.
Perfect. Right, okay, we'll do one more because I think we are running over. So, very good question. Do you have any advice on how to balance your social life with self-care?
Oh, this is so hard. This is something I wrestle with loads. I imagine you ladies do also.
Mm.
I find it quite, well, I think since I've been freelancing-ish, I find it quite easy because I dedicate maybe 2 or 3 days for social life, and then the rest of the time either for work or for myself. I try not to overbook the week. And if I do, then I compensate by not booking anything the week after, because it's so cliche, but it's balance.
Mm-hmm.
It is that balance that you need to try and achieve.
I do a similar thing. I try and have a couple of days a week which are blocked off literally just for lounging on the sofa, not doing anything at all, and count those as social occasions in your diary. If it's helpful to block those off as
in your
busy
calendar.
In your calendar, so that if anyone asks if you're free, you know you're busy and you're not tempted to slip in another drink with a friend.
Yeah.
Because obviously it can be really restorative to meet up with friends. But if you've got no time to yourself to reboot, then it can leave you feeling slightly more stressed than it would before.
Yeah.
And also your good friends will always understand if you say,
oh,
I'm actually feeling quite burnt out and I think I just need an evening in to recharge. Let's get something in soon.
Yeah. I remember when I was first trying to get started and I had such anxiety and such FOMO and feeling like I had to be at everything I was invited to. Like last year, I was like, I need to be invited to everything. I need to go to everything. I need to be switched on. I need to be constantly networking. And now if I have a week where I have maybe two nights where I can just like sit in, make tea and just veg out, I'm just so thankful.
Yeah, 100%.
And saying no to things as well.
Yeah.
It can be really hard, especially if you're in that, I don't know what, like, yeah, the person that wrote in, I don't know whether you're kind of juggling career and self-care and social life as well. And it can be so difficult to say no to things that you're like, oh, but maybe I'll go there and I'll meet someone. Like, it's just so nice to say no sometimes.
I think it even applies if it's not professional, but you know, if you're single and you think, oh, I have to be out all the time because that's how I'm going to meet people. Or even if you just feel like you need to be out and about to recharge, just know that it means so much to give yourself the time to chill at home. And you won't be able to give your all to other situations if you don't give yourself that time.
Exactly.
Obviously, everyone's got different limits. Some people are really extrovert and they just want to be around people all the time. But I do not.
What I found that it helped this year is getting pregnant.
Yes, that's a great excuse.
That's a great piece of advice,
sorry,
guys.
I'm pregnant.
Guys, get pregnant.
Have sex, get pregnant, say no to things.
Because then you have someone else to blame.
Exactly.
And they can't be mad at you because they're not born yet.
It's not my fault. It's the baby's fault.
It talks to me.
I'm so tired. We are tired.
Yeah. There you go. You heard it here first, guys. Get pregnant. If you're really tired about going to social situations, have
a
baby.
And do you know what? I feel like in a lot of social situations as well, because it does involve drinking. So a lot of my friends have sort of like cut me out because they know I'm not drinking and they know that I'm like, I'm not interested. I'm not really that interested to come unless there's food. If there's food, then yes.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm like, oh, do I really want to travel that far for like,
Actually, on that, I do think there's a way of blending self-care and socializing in with the people that you love the most. So like your closest friends, for example, I've got a couple of really good friends who we will very happily see each other just by lying on the sofa, not really speaking and watching TV.
Yeah.
But you still feel like you've got a connection with someone and you can talk about anything that is really on your mind. I've definitely got a few friends where that's become quite a key way of socializing, is make the kind of relaxed dinner you would if no one was there at all, except they're there too.
That's how you know when they're true friends.
That's when you know they're true friends, when you're relaxed enough in each other's company that you just act as though you would if you were by yourself.
Yeah. And sitting in silence as well, comfortable silence, that's when you know you've made it friendship.
100%. Exactly. 100%.
Not saying anything.
But yeah, look after yourself and just respect your own boundaries is my key advice.
100%.
Wise one.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for. So all that remains for me and Soph to say is thank you, Anna, so much for coming on the podcast. It's been such a delight.
A big, big pleasure. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, girl.
Thank you to Anna and baby.
Thank you so much, baby. You've been such a big contributor.
I know, right?
She's been chatting away.
Just here, you know, enjoying the food, enjoying the chats, agreeing with aunties. Yeah.
And if you like this episode, give us a review, give us a rating on whichever podcast app you use. And we'll be back next week for the season finale episode.
Oh my gosh, yes. Every 5-star review is a night that Anna gets to sleep through when she has little
Save the baby.
Save Anna's sleep schedule.
Yes,
we're back next week with a super jam-packed letters special.
Can't wait. Tune in then.
Bye, guys.
Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to Quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.